Chapter 39. The telephone woke Rod. He checked his wristwatch as he tottered, naked and half asleep, through to the lounge. 8 o'clock. Ironsides, he yawned into the mouthpiece, and then came fully awake as he recognized her voice. Good morning, Rodney. How's your hangover? He had not expected to hear from her again.
Just bearable.
I called to thank you for an amusing and instructive evening.
Hark at the girl.
He grinned and scratched his chest. She changes with the wind. Last night I expected a bullet between the eyes. Last night I got one big fright, she admitted. It comes as a bit of a shock to discover suddenly that you are quite capable of acting the wanton. Not all the names I called you were meant.
I'm sorry for my contribution to your distress, Rod said.
Don't be. You were very impressive. Then quickly changing the subject. You are picking up your daughter today?
Yes.
I'd like to meet her.
That could be arranged. Rod was cautious.
Does she like horses?
She's crazy about them.
Would you like to take her and me out to my stud farm on the Vaal River?
Rod hesitated.
Is it safe? I mean, being seen together. It's my reputation. I'll look after it.
Fine, Rod agreed. We'd love to visit your farm.
I'll meet you at your apartment. When?
9:30.
Patty was still in her dressing gown, and she offered Rod her cheek casually to be pecked. There were curlers in her hair, and from her eyes he could tell she'd had a late night. Hello. You're getting thin. Melly is dressing. Do you want some coffee? Your maintenance check was late again this month. And she took a swipe at the spaniel pup as it squatted on the carpet. Damn dog, pees all over the place. Melanie! She raised her voice. Hurry up, your papa is here. Hello, Daddy! And Melanie's voice shrieked delightedly from the interior of the apartment.
Hello, baby.
You can't come in, Daddy. I haven't got any clothes on.
Well, hurry up. I've come a million miles to see you.
Not a million.
You couldn't fool Melanie Ironsides.
Did you say you wanted coffee? It's no trouble. It's made already.
Patty led him through into the sitting room.
Thanks.
How are things? She asked, as she filled a cup and gave it to him. They've made me general manager of the Sonder Ditch.
He could not prevent himself. It was too good. He had to boast.
Patty looked at him, startled. You're joking, she accused. And then he saw her mind beginning to work like a cash register. He almost laughed out loud.
No, it's true.
God! She sat down limply. It will nearly double your salary.
He looked at her dispassionately, and not for the first time felt a great wash of relief as he realized he was no longer shackled to her. It's usual to offer congratulations, he prompted her.
You don't deserve it. She was angry now. You are a selfish, philandering bastard, Rodney Ironsides. You don't deserve the good things that keep happening to you.
He had cheated her. She could have been the general manager's wife, first lady of the goldfields. Now she was a divorcee, stuck with a miserable $4.50 a month. It had seemed good before, but not now.
I hope you will have enough conscience to make a suitable adjustment for Melanie and me. We are entitled to a share.
The door burst open, and Melanie Arnsides arrived at a gallop to wrap herself around Rod's neck. She had long blonde hair and green eyes.
I got 9 out of 10 for spelling.
You're not clever, you're a genius. Also, you're beautiful.
Will you carry me down to the car, Daddy?
What's wrong? Your legs in plaster?
Please, please, pretty please.
Patty interrupted the love feast. Have you got your jersey, young lady? And Melanie flew. I'll have her back before 7, said Rod.
You haven't answered my question. Patty was surly. Do we get a share?
Yes, of course, said Rod. The same big, juicy 450 you've had all along. They had been in Rod's apartment 10 minutes when the doorbell announced Terry's arrival. She was in jeans and a checked shirt with her hair in a plait, and she greeted Rod self-consciously. When he introduced her to Melanie, she did not look much older than his daughter. The two girls summed each other up solemnly. Melanie, suddenly very demure and refined, and Rod was relieved to see that Terry had the good sense not to gush over the child. They were in the Maserati and halfway to the village of Paris on the Val River before Melanie had completed her microscopic scrutiny of Terry.
Can I come up front and sit on your lap? She asked at last. Yes, of course.
Terry was hard put to conceal her relief and pleasure. Melanie scrambled over the seat and settled on Terry's lap.
You are pretty,
Melanie gave her considered opinion.
Thank you, and so are you. Are you Daddy's girlfriend? Melanie demanded.
Terry glanced across at Rod and then burst out laughing.
Almost, she gurgled,
and then all three of them were laughing. They laughed often that day. It was a day of sunshine and laughter. Terry and Rod walked together with fingers almost touching through the green paddocks along the willow-lined bank of the Val. Melanie ran ahead of them, shrieking with glee at the antics of the foals. They went up to the stables, where Melanie fed sugar lumps to a winner of the Cape Metropolitan Handicap, and then kissed his velvety muzzle. They swam in the pool beside the elegant whitewashed homestead, laughter mingling with the splashes. And when they drove back to Johannesburg in the evening, Melanie curled in exhausted slumber on Terry's lap, her head cushioned on Terry's bosom. Terry waited in the Maserati while Rod carried the sleeping child up to her mother. And when he returned and slipped into the driver's seat, Terry murmured, "My car is at your apartment. You'll have to take me with you." Neither of them spoke until they were back in Rod's sitting room. And then he said, "Thank you for a wonderful day." And he took her to his chest and kissed her. In the darkness, she lay pressed to his sleeping body, clinging to him, as though he might be taken from her. She had never felt such intensity of emotion before. It was a compound of awed wonder and gratitude. She had just been admitted to a new level of human experience she had never suspected existed. The sheets were still damp. She felt bruised internally, aching, a slow, voluptuous pulse of pain that she cherished. Lightly she touched his body, not wanting to wake him, running her fingers through the coarse curls that covered his chest, marveling still at the infinity that separated this from what she had known before. She shuddered with almost unbearable pleasure as she remembered his voice describing her body to her, making her proud of it for the first time in her life. She remembered the words he had used to tell her exactly what they were doing together. And the feel of his hands, so gentle, sure, so lovingly possessive upon her. He was so unashamed, taking such obvious joy in her, that the reserves which the barren years of her marriage had placed in her mind were swept away, and she was able to go with Rodney Ironsides beyond the storm into that tranquil state where mind and body are completely at peace. She became aware of him awakening beside her, and she touched his face, his lips, and his eyes with her fingertips.
"Thank you," she whispered, and he seemed to understand, for he took her head and drew it gently down into the hollow of his shoulder.
"Sleep now," he told her softly, and she closed her eyes and lay very still and quiet beside him. But she did not sleep. She would not miss one moment of this experience.